making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, and that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here at Abounding Grace today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and this week we're going to be looking at a very powerful passage in the book of 1 John. I want to read that to you. The first 10 verses of 1 John. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, one of the things, as I read that passage, is so powerful and beautiful. One of the things we have to remember about the Word of God is that when it goes forth from the mouth of the preacher, or when you're reading the Word in the power of the Spirit, it is like arrows piercing through our hearts. Every time the Word goes forth, all sorts of arrows are flying. That's exactly what Hebrews 4 teaches, that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, this morning, as I just read to you, we come to such a passage. What amazes me about 1 John is that the whole book is sort of in your face about Christianity. John here tells it like it is with no apology. He pulls no punches. He does not hold back. He's not in fear that some of God's people will be discouraged with such words. Because what he's going to expose, my friends, is that there is an ongoing reality in the church. There are two professions of faith, if you will, one true and one false. There are two paths, one of righteousness and one of wickedness, two eternal destinies, one of heaven and the other of hell, all being worked out in even the church of Jesus Christ. John wants you to know this. He wants you to ask, in light of this, what sort of profession of faith in Jesus Christ do I have? Because in what follows, in 1 John chapter 1, he really does expose that it's quite possible to be living with a false profession of Jesus Christ in his church. And what follows, and I guess I have to pause and say, that is not a message that is taught today. We basically hear that God has a wonderful plan for everyone, and the first sign of anything in somebody's mouth or heart that they accept Jesus Christ, no one would dare to press them as to what kind of belief and what kind of trust in him it is. In what follows, John is going to outline three ways a false profession is made. And so I believe this is a very important passage that we need to consider in our day, when it seems that the church is ravished with people who do not take Christianity seriously, who do not take the claims of Christ and his gospel seriously. And here we are put to the test, to test ourselves, as Paul said, to see whether we be in the faith. So the question that we must answer as we go through this very introspective passage is, what sort of profession do I have in the Lord? Is it one that is honest with him, falling before him, confessing and turning from sin? Or is it one of denial? Well, in verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1, he begins a discourse contrasting a true and a false profession in Jesus Christ. I want you to listen again to verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What's John doing here? Well, immediately he sets before us the glorious nature, if you will, of God. He says, we've received this message from Christ that God is light. He wants us to become overwhelmed with who God is to such a degree that we bow in his presence. This language is something that should not be unfamiliar to the Christian. Listen to Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Light here is offset from everything that accompanies this dark world. It displays the glories of God. It is his brightness, intelligence, truth, purity. It is sheer and utter excellence above everything of this created order. But what is really being communicated here is the ethical quality, the fact that God is light. And in this sense, his utter and extreme holiness is set before us as a blaze of fire, consuming all of those in his presence who come into his presence who do not share that same pure status. Remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai from receiving the law, the two tablets of stone, he had been in the presence of God. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. As he came down from the mountain, we read that the skin of his face shone, and that the people feared him to such a degree that they had to put a veil over his face. Why? Because he had stood in the presence of God, and the brightness of God's glory was radiating off his face. A beautiful scene indeed. We think of Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and heard the cherubim chanting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And Isaiah cried out in shame for his own sin and misery. This is the one, as Paul said, who dwells in unapproachable light. And John sets this before us right at the beginning of 1 John, saying that in him is no darkness at all. As if to say, nothing that is darkness, my friends, can come into his presence. Now, the reason that John begins with the truth that God is light is to impress upon our hearts the holiness of God. This is a lost concept in our day. This is a God John presents to us that cannot be approached in our own terms. This is a God who is not only light, but in his very essence, he is light. Therefore, anything that is darkness cannot stand before him. But what John is telling us here is that when someone comes into contact with this light, it is life-changing. Since darkness cannot stand in his presence, anyone living a life of sin and a life of rebellion cannot, without a shadow of a doubt, be a child of the light. Now, that just is direct contrast to and contradiction to those people that say God loves everyone and has a wonderful plan for everyone's life. If you are not in the light, in Jesus Christ, covered with his righteousness, you are not favored by him. You are under eternal condemnation. That's the message the Bible constantly maintains. And so there are two truths that stand out here. Here's where this is going. Jesus said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. What's John's point? If one is living contrary to his profession and continues to live in a pattern of evil, and I stress pattern, a rebellious way, one who has not surrendered their lives to the light, but yet says that they are a Christian, it is a false profession. If God is absolutely righteous, which he is, if God is absolute light, which he is, completely holy in his nature, then Christians who are his adopted children are set apart to the same pattern of holiness in that true profession of Christ. They are covered in Christ's righteousness. They are covered by his blood. And if you have come to the light, as John says, there will be a constant exposing of your life so as to make you turn from your sin more and more to flee to Jesus Christ and to receive forgiveness and washing through his blood. The Christian life is constant exposure of sin and turning. The more you come to see just how great the holiness of God is and come into contact with the light, the more you will see your sin and misery and therefore will desire to live in a way consistent with what it means to be a son of the living God. Now that's exactly what John turns to in verse 6. And what follows, he will outline three false professions. And I want you to hear this carefully this week. It's such an important section of Scripture. Look at, if you think about verse 6 in 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What is so powerful about this, my friends, is that John is not looking out into the world and saying this. He's looking at those who profess Jesus Christ. If we say, he says, he's looking out at the visible body of those who profess Jesus Christ. He's looking at professing Christians, and he knows that many of those in the body are living contrary to a true profession in Jesus Christ. Many had left them in this place with such a profession. Jesus had many walk away with him with such a false profession in him. So how does this first false profession go? It's really quite clear. If someone who claims belief in Jesus, someone who's made a profession in Christ, claims that they're a Christian, they claim to have fellowship with God, and yet walk in a way inconsistent with what it means to have fellowship with God, John says they lie and do not practice the truth. Jesus is not unclear about this. He's very direct. If you come to the light and you come into contact with him in a saving way, then your deeds will be exposed in your life in such a way that you will be fighting and turning from them. You cannot come into contact with this light and not come back without a shining face. It is purifying. Coming to Christ is like coming to a refiner's fire. When you come to Christ, Jesus washes you and cleanses you from all of your sin and now sets you apart. Having justified you by faith alone, now at that point sets you apart to a life of sanctification. Oh, may Jesus then be our only hope as we turn to him and receive this washing and newness of life. How may we be of help to you? If you have any need of resources, articles, materials on the Christian faith, what we believe, who we are, would you give us a call? You are welcome to call 360-318-0429 or visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Our worship services at the Linden URC are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. Thank you for joining us today. May you have a wonderful day. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.